Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I mean, he said he didn't care about it.
I would never.
He said he didn't care about it.
On flag day. He didn't care about the holiday, not that he didn't care about the flag.
See, I thought it was Pride Month. I didn't know it was flag day.
Rule number one, Bobby, we don't tell the story. We tell our story. Yes, did I selectively edit his quote? That's what they call journalism.
Journalism. Exactly. Selective editing.
I could have technically put what he said in quotations. I'm just saying that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got the list. Also, coming up during hour number two, we got CJ Hurt joining the program. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurt is going to join us during the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on the finals and perhaps the Knicks coaching search. But before we do any of that, let's get into the list. SEC football schedule. All right, Kevin, we have now had the SEC releasing the time windows. Yes, the time windows. So, earlier we
time
got
windows
correct earlier this season or earlier during the offseason, we got the first 3 weeks.
When are they coming to fix my air conditioning? Is that my cable is down. I'm getting texts from Xfinity.
I think the cable window might actually be more specific than what we've got here. So we got the first 3 weeks of actual TV times, but now we've moved up into weeks four. So what we know for week four is that here are going to be the options of our primetime games.
All right.
Either Tulane at Ole Miss, South Carolina at Missouri, Auburn at Oklahoma. I can tell you probably what's going to be the night game. It's probably going to be Auburn at Oklahoma on ABC, and then they'll figure it out between Tulane and Ole Miss and South Carolina, Missouri. Also that week, if you're concerned, UAB at Tennessee is the early game on SEC Network. Northern Illinois at Mississippi State, the middle game on SEC Network. Georgia State at Vandy. It's a revenge game, by the way, for Vandy. That was one of their losses, almost cost them a bowl game. But they still made it without that loss. That's the...
Wait, where's Arkansas at Memphis? Where's Arkansas at Memphis?
That's next week.
Oh, okay.
No. Oh, that's not going to be listed because that's a AAC game. Because the game's at Memphis.
What was
released today were the SEC ESPN games. So from their television contract. So because
that's not part of that contract.
That contract is part of the AACs. I would think that's going to be the ESPN2 game. That'd be my guess. All right. Then the next week we got Notre Dame at Arkansas. Kind of a bummer for Arkansas people. They're putting that game at noon. So that's the ABC kickoff game, Notre Dame and Arkansas. The early SEC Network game will be Utah State at Alabama. They announced that Alabama at Georgia will be the ABC primetime game. So that means we have designated Auburn at Texas A&M for an afternoon game, subject or television channel to be determined. LSU at Ole Miss is flexed. Tennessee at Mississippi State is flexed. Kentucky at South Carolina is flexed, meaning you have no idea. It could literally show up anywhere on the calendar.
I think I could possibly guess my way to this schedule that they've got. And this is pretty easy stuff so far. This is where you would put it, right? Alabama-Georgia's got to be the ABC game at night. It's got to be.
Yeah, you could have talked me.
At least for one more year.
But you could talk me into they would have put Notre Dame on there just because Notre Dame games.
And they just don't get it. Yeah, you don't have Notre Dame. They're
correct.
You
could have talked me into that, but I'm with you. All right, then the next week, what we know for certain is that Kentucky at Georgia is going to be the noon game, but we do not know the channel. It's either going to be on ABC or ESPN. The afternoon game on SEC Network will be Kent State at Oklahoma. Mississippi State and Texas A&M has been designated as a night game, but no channel yet. Vanderbilt at Alabama will be flexed, as will Texas at Florida.
I love looking at the schedule, and it's like, well, there's times, but instead of times, it says night.
Correct. But then
this game's gonna
but
be at
flex
night.
Is like, I think they say technically flex is either afternoon or night.
It could be, yeah.
So it probably won't be early.
So it just means it can't be 11 a.m.?
Correct. It won't be in the earliest
of
windows.
I don't know. Are you sure?
Yeah, flex technically means either afternoon or evening.
Yeah, because they're locking in the noon game.
Correct.
They're locking in the noon game. So.
The following week, Alabama at Missouri will be the noon game, the 11 a.m. game on ABC. Washington State at Ole Miss will be the 11:45 game on SEC Network. Red River will either be 2:30. Will be at 2:30, but it'll either be on ABC or ESPN. Georgia at Auburn has been designated as a night game. No channel listed. South Carolina at LSU is a flex game. Arkansas at Tennessee is a flex game. Florida at A&M is a flex game. So two of those games will be in the afternoon. Two of those games will be at night. The next week, we've designated Oklahoma at South Carolina for the early window, LSU at Vanderbilt, also in the early window. We have designated Texas at Kentucky in the night window, and then we have Tennessee at Alabama as a flex game, Texas A&M at Arkansas as a flex game, Missouri at Georgia as a flex game, Ole Miss at Georgia as a flex game. So, a lot of help that was. Basically, congratulations to Oklahoma and South Carolina, LSU and Vanderbilt fans, and I guess Mississippi State and Kentucky. Or I'm sorry, Mississippi State, Florida, Texas, and Kentucky. They will at least know when it is. The next week, we have Auburn and Arkansas flexed for the, or should say designated for the early window, as is Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Tennessee at Kentucky is designated as a night game. No channels are provided for those. The flex options will be A&M at LSU, Texas at Mississippi State, Alabama at South Carolina, Missouri at Vanderbilt. I can tell you which one will be on SEC Network. Missouri at Vanderbilt. November the 1st.
100%.
The 11 a.m. game on either ABC or ESPN will be Vandy at Texas. The 2:30 game from Jacksonville. Is this game in Jacksonville? I thought the cocktail party this year was in Atlanta because of the Jacksonville. I thought the Jaguars Stadium. I thought the Jaguars Stadium was under renovation. They were moving it to Atlanta, but maybe I'm wrong there. ESPN's putting it from Jacksonville, but they're putting it at 2:30 because they won't play it at night.
Well, I hope everybody ESPN doesn't show up, and then the game's in
that
Atlanta. They got to rush up there.
It's that like would be tough. Yeah, I would hope
the traffic
somebody would,
and everything in Atlanta. Woo.
I would hope somebody would tip them off. afternoon, Mississippi State at Arkansas, designated for afternoon, but nothing beyond that. Kentucky at Auburn is a flex game, as is South Carolina at Ole Miss, as is Oklahoma at Tennessee. So one of those games will likely be in the afternoon. The other two will be
at night. I think
if you're
in the flex spot, you could get an early game based off of this. There's going to be more than one noon game. So.
I thought the rule was
11 a.m. game for us.
I thought flex was either the earliest you would play, I think, is 2:30 on ABC.
Okay.
That is also to my understanding, yeah.
That's how I've always thought it. Okay, because they can.
A lot of these weeks don't have the.
They didn't designate it as early, meaning it could either be
early can be 11
early is the
11 after
11:45.
11 or 11:45.
Okay.
The November the 8th, Georgia at Mississippi State is the 11 a.m. Central game on either ABC or ESPN. The Citadel at Ole Miss noon on ESPN Plus. Get your tickets now. Auburn at Vanderbilt is designated as an afternoon game. LSU at Alabama, shockingly, that's going to be a night game. Florida at Kentucky will be a flex spot. Texas A&M at Missouri will be a flex spot. Not a lot of games that week. That's going to be one of those weekends that I'm probably going to have to bet really hard. November the 15th, Texas A&M at Kentucky.
Schedule weddings that weekend, November 8th.
Tennessee Tech at Kentucky. That's an ESPN Plus game at 12:30. 4:15, New Mexico State at Tennessee. I beg your pardon, that's 3:15 Central on SEC Network. The early designations are Arkansas at LSU, South Carolina at A&M. The night game designation, Mississippi State at Missouri. The flex games will be Oklahoma at Alabama, Texas at Georgia, Florida at Ole Miss. So those games could either be afternoon or the night.
I'm stuck back on that November 8th. You're right. That is such a terrible weekend.
Yeah, that's
for the SEC lineup, at least. Maybe the other conferences will have a better slate.
So
better
it
slate.
Is. It's another 2 week bye, or it's another 2 bye week season.
We need to get to 9 games now. Let's get to nine team schedule here.
The weekend of November the 22nd, Missouri at Oklahoma is the 11 a.m. game on ABC. Samford at Texas A&M on ESPN Plus. The battle for who wants to claim Jimbo the least. Fun fact: he played at Samford. 11:45, Charlotte at Georgia. Get your tickets now as well. That is an SEC Network game. Eastern Illinois at Alabama. ESPN Plus, Mercer at Auburn.
All of these are get your ticket now games.
Wow. That we're bringing back SoCon.
Here comes Coastal Carolina at South Carolina for the afternoon.
Bringing back 100%. We're bringing back SoCon Saturday.
Oh my goodness.
We got Coastal at South Carolina designated for the afternoon. Kentucky at Vanderbilt as the afternoon designation. Western Kentucky at LSU at night.
And this is one of those wrestling cards. It's all squash matches, and that leads to the main event,
yeah,
right?
Like, this is,
okay, main events at the end of the night, but it's
this
like,
is pay backlash. Yeah. This is like that season. Like, we got Tennessee at Florida. Please, God, be good.
Right. Hey, it's going to be, if you're going to have Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn, right?
Yeah,
like, you're going to get it. It's going to be good no matter how great
God,
they're doing.
Please, God,
it's gonna
be a
good match.
We also have Arkansas at Texas designated as a flex
spot.
Should
be interesting, yeah.
Then on Rivalry Week, we've got Ole Miss at Mississippi State on Black Friday at 11 a.m. Central. Texas A&M at Texas at 6:30 p.m. on ABC. On the following Saturday, or the next day, we have Clemson at South Carolina, 11 a.m. on either ABC or ESPN. Vandy at Tennessee has been designated as an afternoon game. The night game designation goes to Missouri at Arkansas. The flex ones will be Alabama at Auburn, Florida State at Florida, LSU at Oklahoma.
And there you have it, the SEC Championship game on December the 6th.
Did that get anyone more excited for football?
I don't know. You just sometimes got to talk yourself into it. I don't know. I'm excited.
I mean, it is. I think it's important to learn the schedules.
That's what's going to matter the most.
In the back of your mind, you need to know the weekends so that you can pretend like, you know what, honey, I don't need to watch football this weekend. Like, I got a couple hours for you.
Right.
You need to have those out there. Let's go with.
But it's still, we still don't know the times yet, but we'll get there.
Correct.
I like easing into knowing what's going on.
Let's go with the enhancement games. Okay, so part of the reason why I wanted to discuss this story is it comes from Lausanne, Switzerland, and that's where I lived overseas for a year, so I just wanted to throw that out there. No big deal. The global watchdog of doping in sports said Wednesday it will urge public authorities to shut down the drug-fueled enhancement games planned in Las Vegas next year. Quote, we will urge the U.S. authorities to find legal ways to block this initiative. World Anti-Doping Agency President Witold Banka said on the sidelines of a meeting of the Olympic sports bodies. I want to be very clear. We need the enhanced games.
Who's got the TV rights for this?
That's a great question. So
like
I know it's
right there waiting for Netflix or somebody, but not if you want to mess with the other leagues. So you got,
is Dana involved?
Is he?
This also feels like something Turner might pick up. Let's see.
I mean, Turner, they've got the space for the enhanced games.
It's the juiced games.
That's what it is. Yes.
They've not yet announced any TV or streaming partners. While discussions are reportedly ongoing with potential partners, no broadcast agreements have been publicly confirmed.
At Enhance, we're pioneering a new era in athletic competition that embraces scientific advancements to push the boundaries of human performance.
Here's the biggest reason I want it. I understand, obviously, the enhanced athletes are not the best of the best. I do kind of want to see, all right, science, what you got? Like, let me see exactly, like, Because then you can start to imagine, it's like, well, what if we did put all the best athletes on this stuff? Like, I do kind of want to see, like, what's it look like?
Well, the enhanced games, we'll have AI games, I'm sure, very soon as well. I'm surprised it's taken this long for the enhanced games.
I think there's also the question of, like, does anyone really believe the Olympics are 100% clean?
Well.
Like, I believe they're passing tests. I don't know if I necessarily believe that it's clean. Right. I do kind of want to see, it's like, what's it look like? Like, show me the difference. I want a frame of reference.
Yeah.
I'm all in
gonna,
on these.
We're going to maybe, I mean, who knows if we'll see it. Somebody's got to get the right. I don't know who it is. It 2B? No. It can't be anybody who's messing with the leagues. They're going to get, the real leagues will be upset about it. So you got to get, it's going to be one of these, maybe it's be Roku TV.
If you're a real league, though, aren't you quietly pushing this? Because I think what your idea would be is, like, you want these guys and gals to look as cartoonish as possible. And that way you can go, for everyone that thinks our sport's dirty, like, look at that. That's what real dirty sports looks like.
So you don't
like.
Think they're just hands off, they don't care.
I think that they're not going to come out and publicly support it, but I think quietly they're going to be behind the scenes like, I kind of want this to happen. Because it will, like, take some heat off of other sports that are presumed to be dirty.
Yeah, that's fair. I think there's got to be a streaming service out there to pick this up. Somebody will.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe they can just go live on Twitch.
I was about to say, or X, the everything app. It's all happening on X.
Oh, it could be on X. It's perfect for X.
The NBA Finals. All right, Kevin. So
tonight we got Game 3.
We got Game 3 tonight
in Indianapolis.
A lot of discourse about whose fault it is that nobody's watching the finals. Lots of good discourse. I think it's as simple as this for me. I actually think they have taken something that used to kind of feel special. It's the championship.
Right.
And even if you're not super excited about the matchup, for instance, I was not super fired up to watch the Chiefs and the Eagles again. I get it. It's the Super Bowl, so we're all watching. But what, like, at the end, it's like, it's never an option.
Not the best example. It was just an awful Super Bowl this year.
But
it really,
like,
was awful.
There have always been Super Bowls where you're not super fired up,
right,
about,
I know,
the matchup.
Going into it, yeah.
Correct. Or there have been, I'll even use this, there have been plenty of World Series matchups. Like, was I fired up for Rangers Diamondbacks? No, but there is a certain aspect of Major League Baseball makes the World Series feel like it's big. You've got all the logos. You got the World Series logo. They make sure that you see the starting lineups. Like, they make it feel like it's a big deal. I think a big problem that a lot of people are having is you feel like you're just watching another game on ESPN.
Because that's the problem. You're talking about the people not watching it. What about the people like you and I and those tuning in here to 929 right now who are watching it? We are watching it, and we're tuning in, and we're not getting the feels, right? We're not getting what we're tuning in for. And is that going to make us less inclined to want to tune in and make more people hooked to the idea that you got to tune in year after year, those who are the casuals or the ones who just happen to be tuning in? Like, we're tuning in. The people who are tuning in are not getting what you're supposed to be getting. You're not getting the feels of the NBA Finals. There's the feeling is missing. And is the problem the matchup? Is the problem the network broadcasting it? Is the problem that in the NBA has ads on everything? What is the problem? Why are the feels missing from this? Because the stars are there. I think we've got big enough stars. We've got the MVP, and then we have the MVP of the playoffs in Halliburton on the Pacers. So, like, I think both teams have stars, maybe too new of stars, but, like, it's got two teams that have never won a championship wearing those uniforms.
I would argue all the things are related.
And all of kinda, it together?
It's kind of one of those things where it's like, any reason you kind of throw out, I would imagine there's something to it, to a certain degree. As long as you put it, like, forth a good faith effort. Like, if you wanted to say, hey, man, it's two largely unknown teams, and they don't have someone that is, like, a lightning rod.
But they both, like, have people you should, if you actually tune in, you should appreciate who you're seeing, but.
Yeah, but they're still young enough. Like, there's not enough.
The Thunder are very generic.
There's not enough history, and I don't think it's easy to feel one way or the other about these teams. But I do think
I agree. The Thunder still feel like just a very generic team that could be in a movie or something, and they might be great. The logo's kind of plain. The team, like, it's just.
What was the Kevin Durant movie?
Yeah, he was actually in a movie. You're right. Like, what was that Thunder movie?
Thunder. Was it Thunder Up?
What was that movie?
I think it was straight to DVD.
Was it? It was. What was Kevin Durant? I'm gonna look it up while we. But there literally was a Thunder movie.
I think Lipnicki was in it.
I'm talking about Thunderstruck. It was called
Thunderstruck. Yeah, was Jonathan Lipnicki in it? I thought he was.
When Brian, a hopelessly uncoordinated young fan, magically switches talents with his hero basketball star Kevin Durant, he becomes
the star of
his high school.
Space Jam on a mic. It's Space Jam beats Teen Wolf.
While Kevin Durant suddenly can't make a shot to save his life.
Yeah, it's Space Jam.
Now, but this is probably on Tubi.
That is probably smart. But I would actually argue it is the getting away from the pageantry of it all.
The pageantry is like, what has got it. That's part what you
got to do. Part of like getting casuals in is like, all right, I want to check in on the finals. Like, I want to see, like, what's it look like?
Because there's people who only watch it. There's people, you go to Super Bowl, right? Obviously, there are millions and millions of people who the only football game they watch all year is the Super Bowl. And it's not because of the matchup. They watch it because it is something special. And you get the pageantry's part of it there. The same for like WrestleMania. People will check in, but you've got to get the feels. Part of your job is to set the emotional stakes of what is happening. Why is, for WrestleMania, why is this wrestling show better than every other wrestling show or bigger than every other wrestling show that has happened the rest of the year? Or for the NBA Finals, why is this basketball game different than all the other basketball games the rest of the year? You've got to put something there to make it feel special. Obviously, the stakes and what's on the line is what makes it more important, but also there's got to be more to it.
And you can't tell me they don't know this, because the whole point of the stupid floors for the in-season tournament was, we have to make it feel like it's something different.
How did they make them have so many? They used to have a special floor, and I know we kind of have a special floor for the finals. It's a very small trophy.
We don't.
But there's a small trophy. They do have the small, the Larry Bryan trophy is very small on the court. But it used to be ginormous.
It's not even on the court.
Is it not on the court at all?
So it wasn't even on there on Friday. Then people started complaining,
and they
did the graphic version.
So it's not even on there.
And you can tell. It looks like a graphic that was not rendered.
But how cool. Like if you want to make it to the part of, before there was a million different courts, there was the finals court. And of course, that has not been there forever, but it was a cool thing that the NBA did.
But there was always some, even if you want to say, because I'm like someone, I don't have to have the giant trophy in the middle of the logo.
You would want it there if the Grizzlies were in the finals. You think? Oh,
yeah, I don't even know though, because I always thought it was like, I don't know, it never looked right to me. It was always at a weird angle, and it just,
you had to fit it, yeah.
But what I did always love was some type of logo, like on the hash marks, the finals, or you had some years where it said, like, the year NBA finals. Like, I wanted something that was like, all right, if I'm going back and watching this, that was the NBA finals.
Right.
There was some type of
something that marked it. Mark, you knew the game was the final. When it felt like a regular game, if you're tuning in, I think ESPN might have had the word final somewhere on the graphic. It just did not feel...
So what they did was, they were, after the complaining, in game two, they did like the superimposed... If you were in the arena, you would not have seen it, but you could see it on your television screen. But it also was very like clunky. Like you could tell like they put it together.
Whether you'd like the big trophy in the middle or not, there should be a special court for the finals, right? There's a special court for random midseason tournaments. You've done the special court for the finals before you did any of that other stuff. I don't know if that would change and give you the feels, but it would definitely change the atmosphere a little bit. And I feel like the NBA needs to have a team that is dedicated to, I mean, what? The Liberty Bowl is once a year, right?
Yes.
Like, and I hear Harold Grader promote it throughout the year, and his focus is on that one game. Like, does the NBA, do they have a team that is focused on it? Like, what are we doing this year to make the final special?
Because I guarantee
it needs to be that way.
There's somebody in that office that is not that important that could handle this project.
Right.
I guarantee it. All right.
And I don't know if it's ESPN's fault either or what, or the fact that we feel like maybe our brains are like, I don't hear Bob Costas. This is not special.
No,
where's
I don't,
Bob Costas?
I don't,
like, should they have given NBC
the rights to the
finals?
It's been like 25 years since we've heard Costas. Like, and people keep doing that. You're just nostalgic for NBC. It's like, no, I'm nostalgic for even when ABC did it big.
The ABC did used to do it
big.
Yes. They did. And in the Christmas Day stuff on used to be pretty fun too. Like, they made stuff special, but I do wonder if they should have NBC should have got the finals deal because do we need a new perspective from a network perspective on the NBA finals? And
I know who's going to have an opinion on this.
Who?
CJ Hurt. Let's get his thoughts when we come back.
That's great.
We'll have him on here next. Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
CJ Hurt is a Grind City media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. You can also see him on the HBCU Huddle. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at ConRadicalness. CJ, does ESPN/ABC need to do more to make the final spiel special?
Yes, 1,000%. And that's the part of the problem with the way the NBA is being covered right now. And it's the easiest thing to do right now, because everybody is doing it, is just poop on the NBA. In fact, I feel like we've gotten to the point, we've talked about this before, where most people are watching the NBA just to say bad things about it. And this year is the most recent example of that. And it's just because you're saying bad things doesn't mean the bad thing isn't true. This looks, the feel of it, everything is a very important regular season game. There's the signage wasn't there in game one. They just slapped some nonsense together for game two. Is anybody, I guess, is Pat McAfee even in Indianapolis?
Probably, yeah, they did the show today. I mean, I saw on Twitter they were doing the show outside of Gamebridge today.
I mean, he's based there. He should be.
Yeah, but like they did something.
Yeah.
They did live, like, whatever their version of the plaza. They, you know, the area we have in front of FedEx Forum, their version of that's where they broadcasted from today.
More should be done from there is my point. I know McAfee did the Eastern Conference Finals from there, and that made it feel bigger than what it was. And so I don't know what all ESPN could do to be there during the day, right? To say, all right, here we are, we're here because this thing is very, very important. But even the pregame and the halftime show does not feel particularly special. You know, it is one of the most frustrating things for me when watching the game and watching ESPN's coverage of the game is the halftime show. You come back and it was game one and game two. Go to break as the half ends. You come back to a 15-second highlight clip with Richard Jefferson or Doris Burke talking. You go right back to break. You come back. You do that again. You go right back to break. So now we are 6 minutes into halftime, and we've got 30 seconds of comments about the game and 5.5 minutes or 6.5 minutes of commercials. It's like, holy hell, what are we doing here? And then the halftime show gets started for 6 or 7 minutes, and it's all right. It's pretty okay. And then they go right back to commercials, and they repeat that twice. So, like, it's come on, man. Give us more about the game. ESPN isn't giving enough about the NBA Finals. And then when it comes to watching the Finals, there's not enough there to make it feel special.
Well, because Kevin and I were talking about this off the air, because to me, this is clearly a conscious choice. Like, and what I can't figure out is this ESPN making the conscious choice, or is this ESPN presenting the game as the NBA would like? And kind of your thought goes to, well, probably this isn't really what the NBA wants, but like I was also thinking about in these terms. All right, because one of the things that I told Kevin that I'm missing out, like, there's one thing I used to love about the Finals. It was the one time where you would actually see all of the player introductions. Like, you know, like we see at the NCAA tournament,
yeah.
Like with Turner and CBS. Like, and that's something that, like, you didn't get to see when you just watched a normal game, and it made it feel bigger. And just like you said, the signage in the arena. And then I was looking, there were a couple of stories from writers that I like that were, like, exploring, hey, when I watch the game on TV, it doesn't feel special. I'm going to go to Oklahoma City and see if it felt special. And they all said the same thing of, man, in the building.
It feels incredible.
Yes, they're all saying, so it's like, it's not translating. And so what I'm trying to figure out is, whose conscious choice is it to present it like this? Is it ESPN or is it the NBA?
Whosever choice it is, they're making a mistake. They're making a big old mistake. I'm with you on. I hadn't even thought about player introductions, but yeah, that's part of the thing that made it feel really, really cool and really, really special. Also,
and it's so simple, CJ. Going to do the player introductions.
Just
you just
it,
have
man.
To put
just,
them
just,
on television.
Well, and like, because the confusing thing for me is like, okay, why would the NBA not want this? You don't really come up with an easy one. Like the first thought I had was, well, if you're showing 7 to 10 minutes of the pregame, whether it be you're showing the introductions with the anthem, whatnot, that's 7 to 8 minutes where YouTube, and I presume Google, has paid a ton of money, their logo's not going to be on the screen. And so
but you can have the intros be sponsored by somebody.
You can do a third.
I'm
with, throw a little graphic up somewhere, and that's not hard.
I'm with you, but I think a lot of times what they do is they use the in-house feed that's like going up on the board, but I'm with you on that. It seems to me like that is a solvable problem. And then I was thinking, well, maybe it's ESPN, because if you go and you're watching on the app, they allow you to watch, there's a feed called like Layup Line, in which like you have the in-house, I think it's actually the wired cam, the spider cam or whatever, that are showing
above the goal.
Right, they're showing warm. There's no commentary or anything, but you just hear the sounds and whatnot. So I'm like, well, maybe they're trying to drive you to the app. If you want to see that, they're going to put it as premium content that you can watch on the app or whatnot. But it's like, it just seems to me like what doesn't make sense to me is when you watch other things on ESPN, let's even take a sport that's going on concurrently. When ESPN has the hockey conference finals or the NHL Stanley Cup final, they show everything. They show the intro. They show the anthems. Like, they show all this. College football, ESPN will blow it out for the playoffs to show the big game. And then even their... You know, even when ESPN and ABC do the primetime game on a weeknight, like they have the Nissan pregame rush in which they see the teams run out onto the field. They show the coin toss. Like they show all the things that make you feel like this is a big game, but it's just not really happening here. And so it's like
the build and the anticipation is a part of it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you want to feel the atmosphere, right? Don't you want to think like, okay, man, this feels like it's a big thing to me.
And they did a much better job of connecting the finals to finals pass.
Yeah.
Right. Like there were, even when going to break, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've seen any of the famous pictures or famous scenes from finals pass that they throw up. You know, you go to break and they just throw like a picture up real fast. I'm certain that they're doing it, but I don't recall them doing it, right? Like, I don't recall them having a moment where they acknowledge, hey, 20-some years ago, the Houston Rockets became the lowest seed ever to win a NBA Finals. The Pacers are looking to become the first non-top three seed to win the Finals since then, with little highlight clips of Hakeem Olajuwon and Kenny the Jet Smith, et cetera, out there on the court doing their thing to connect you. So you feel the emotion because it's a cheap trick, but it's a trick that works, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care if it's a cheap trick.
Watching that special moment happen, and you're like, oh, that special moment could happen here again. This is a big deal. I'm dialed all the way in.
Yeah, the music, the voiceovers, mm-hmm. the imagery, all of that puts it where you're watching and you feel like you're watching something timeless, or you're watching something that your kids or your grandkids might be talking about and watching the highlights of, decades from now, right? Like, it puts you in that, like, you're watching what you should be watching. I always say, like, you know, if you're out and about in Memphis and you go somewhere and you see Michael Donahue there, like, you know, you're in the place that you should be at. There's nowhere else you should be because there's Michael Donahue, right? And so when you're watching live television, live sports, like, it means something when you feel like you know you're watching something special.
Yeah, absolutely. We've given four or five different things they can do. They also, I refuse to believe, they don't know this, right? If we know it on the outside, they've got to know it on the inside. Why they aren't doing it, I'm not super sure.
Are they just blaming the NBA? Like, oh, because like, as Jeffrey pointed out, like, it might be an ESPN problem, but we know they handle other sports better. Or are they just saying, well, the NBA is just different. That's how it is, you know? We can't make people care more about the NBA. They care about college sports. Well, yeah, are they just blaming the NBA? Like, that's just how it is. I don't think so, because we've seen it before.
We've seen them do it before.
It's about feeling it, really, though. It's right. Yeah. We felt it before.
We've seen them do the things necessary to make us feel the specialness of this time of the year in the NBA. While they aren't doing it, I'm not 1,000% sure. I understand that these things, we love watching them, but from a TV executive standpoint, these things serve as major bell cows and cash cows for sponsorship. So they don't care what's going on with the game. They care about what's going on with the sponsors, how much money I can make selling ads and live reads and things of that nature, my various logos on the court. So I know they care about that. And if you care about that, the best way to get more of it, to get more of the money from the advertisers, is by making it feel super special. That's why Super Bowl commercials get sold at ridiculous prices, $3.5 million for 30 seconds of airtime, because the Super Bowl feels special. We know the Super Bowl is special, sure, but it feels special. And I think that some of this stuff cuts into, from an NBA standpoint, some of it cuts into directly the amount of ads that they can sell, you know. So doing player introductions, that's going to cut into ads. We're taking 25, 30 seconds to acknowledge this really cool moment that happened in NBA history, in the NBA Finals. Well, that's 20, 25, 30 seconds that we're not using to get ads in. And it feels so very, very corporate. And this is my major complaint about all of the major championships over here, college and otherwise. It all feels too corporate. You don't get enough stuff for the fans there, because you're trying to grab as much money as you can from corporate sponsors in terms of corporate seats and boxes, commercials, reads, what have you.
You actually might have talked me into the theory that I'm kind of buying, because I feel like I've just been kind of racking my brain. It's like, I know something doesn't add up, but I actually think, and hang with me here, this was a problem that a lot of golf fans have had. And what happened was the PGA Tour and the major championships started selling the price of their big events at a ridiculous markup. And so what happened was, to justify the amount of money that they were spending, golf went to, like, the amount of commercials in a given hour basically like doubled in a 10-year period. And yeah, I think you might be onto it, because, like, let's look at it. Rightly or wrongly, like, the NBA got their money. Good for them on the last TV deal. But there are a lot of people that valued. There are some people that actually said when TNT or when Turner, Warner Brothers Discovery, however you want to say it, didn't actually win the bid for the NBA, there were some executives that were like, that's actually smart because they weren't going to make their money back. And now it seems like what everybody's answer to is when we're doing something and overpaying because we want to be a part of this, well, we're just going to start selling more ads. We're going to start running more ads. And like, as you point out, the things that we're talking about, that's taken away ad space.
Yes, and it takes away ad space in the allotted time.
Yeah.
You know, but you could.
Well, like in college, so like to use the example, because we said like with college football, it feels like they do a pretty good job of like selling the game and making it feel bigger. But think about it now in college football, how many plays get reviewed? All reviews are just another opportunity. There's another 3-minute window of we're going to put more ads in, even though that wasn't built into the broadcast. But we know there's going to be at least 4 or 5 reviews during the game. That's another 3 minutes and, you know, 4 or 5 times. Whereas the NBA, you have a few reviews, but it's not like you can bank on it. And the NBA's basically cut down the reviews to be pretty quick, somewhere in that 90-second range. I think that's a huge part of it.
You could do the we'd be annoyed with it. But golf does this. NFL does this. Hell, I do believe the UFL does this, too. Well, you just two-box it.
The NBA's kind of, if you've noticed, they do it
in there.
They'll do it occasionally on free throws.
Yeah. That's a perfect way to do it, though. On free throws, get the commercial break in.
Yeah, also, now let's hear from Progressive for 30 seconds, and then you watch somebody shoot the first free throw.
Yeah. The other thing about college football with ESPN, they make that feel special. Every week feels special in college football. Do they take it up to another degree? Absolutely. When it comes to bowl season, playoffs, that type of thing, it does go up another degree. But they have in college football game day one of, if not the best pregame show across sports. Their NBA coverage, on the other hand, is nowhere near that, and it's kind of middling. I don't think anybody really like will bang on the drums for the job that's being done over at ESPN in that area. So you got that show, and that's the show that tends to make the sport special. Your pregame and your postgame shows make the sport feel special, and they don't do a good job of that.
It could
right
be fixed
with NBA.
It could be fixed next year. We don't know exactly how. Well, I mean, I'll say act like the inside crew is going to be in.
And I don't even think
sorry, inside the NBA is supposed to be involved in the finals next year.
Well, like I think this CJ, to your point, the French Open, and who the heck cares? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is a tournament that very few people cared about.
The
obviously,
French do.
Well, but I'm talking about historically, we've not cared. Like, yeah. And forget like the fact that Coco won it, but even John McEnroe, who's over there, says, "Hey, man, we owe a thanks. Like, we owe a debt of gratitude to Turner and to TNT." Because what they did was they went and posted up. They put everything on TNT. If you wanted to watch the match that was on a side court that nobody knew existed, yeah, you could find that on Max. But they had matches on TNT, and they had matches on True TV. They started when the tournament started, and they had the desk crew there all day setting the scene, everything. Like, they just camped out, and you had one spot to go to the game or go for the matches and everything, and it actually worked. And he was like, I didn't think a TV channel could actually make a difference, but he's like, it definitely gave a shot of life into this event that was desperately needed.
And I love Turner.
It's the immersion aspect that CJ's
like,
talking about.
And like, yeah, like even on Insight, when stuff is on TNT, like you always feel like you're there, right? They're not leaving. There's no time limit, no disqualification on these shows on Turner. It's like, we're here and we're going to be here until everybody's out of the building when you watch something on TNT.
We're here till we're done.
Yeah.
Inside the NBA is only going to work on it at ESPN, and this is why I'm fascinated by what's going to happen with this show and with ESPN. It's only going to work if ESPN lets them do what they do. That means long segments. That means fewer commercial breaks, and I'm not sure if ESPN is interested enough in that. And when ESPN starts to push back or face some pushback from the inside the TNT, inside the NBA, excuse me, when they start to face that and those personalities, which are big personalities, I question how well they'll be able to handle that. We've seen ESPN sort of fumble about with big personalities before. We're seeing them fumble about with Pat McAfee now. I am curious to see how this all works the second ESPN decides, you know what? No, y'all need to get to a break, dog. We got 2 minutes of commercials we need to fill for advertising.
That's more than likely the biggest change that is going to be forced on the show.
I think it's breaks. Speaking of which, we got to take one, too. Yeah, speaking of, we've got to pay our bills. CJ, that was great stuff, man. Appreciate it.
I'll ask you.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. I made fun of this yesterday, saying I guarantee you that the NCAA would claim that their campaign about ending betting harassment, they would take credit for it. Awful Announcing. Shout out to Sam Newman of Awful Announcing, who is actually writing a column saying that their campaign worked, when in reality all that happened was favorites won at a historic rate so people didn't lose money.
Right.
It's one of the all-time worst beats for the history of Vegas and sportsbooks. Not that I'm crying for them, but the NCAA didn't do anything. People just actually won their bets. My thanks to Bobby Ford and to Hunter Havoc, I guess, for being in here. Again, the Crosstown Clash, Saturday night, tickets at the door, $15. All ages are welcome. Doors open at 6. Wrestling will start at 7. Make sure you go check it out. Go see our guys. Support them. Support the local wrestling scene. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.